Tuesday, March 13th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So first, my apologies for the intermittent shows of late. Many of you are aware of what we have been dealing with on the back end, but for those who do not, suffice it to say that we have had our share of censorship and attacks. But hopefully the issue of the last few weeks is almost behind me. As for today, from Trump announcing a new Space Force to add as a military branch to our already absurdly bloated and overfunded military, to the firing of Rex Tillerson, there is more than enough going on in the American politics reality show to keep far too many fully distracted from what's truly important. Now, that's not to say that the Trump administration losing now 24 members, which is about one every 17 days since his inauguration, is not important. It does say a lot about the current state of politics in this country, but it seems almost intentional, at least to the very inner circle, in my opinion, as it serves well to keep the talking head speculating long enough to brush one more scandal under the rug or let one more statute of limitations run out on crimes of which we are already fully aware. Not to mention that the head of the CIA, Gina Haspel, has been a part of the deep state apparatus since 1985. In her tenure, she carried out unspeakable torture and was complicit in destroying evidence of U.S. war crimes. So that indeed speaks to the direction of the constantly evolving Trump administration. But these types of petty reality show theatrics and hypothetical discussions only serve to feed that incessant need for more drama, more conflict, more negative energy, just like reality TV. Yet in this show, many do not even know that they are participating. This is precisely what stops the American people, or rather distracts them, from asking why its military has been at war overseas for decades, most being justified under the War Powers Act. Yet it's not authorized by the UN, and the stipulated 90 days of the War Powers Act is years past, and yet Congress has taken no action, and the war rages on. The military actions of the U.S., or rather the shadowy entities that have now taken over the U.S., are illegal. Its occupation of Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan are illegal. Its subversive and destabilizing actions in Venezuela, Libya, Iran, and many others are in fact illegal. Yet the American people are too engrossed in all the drama being carefully created to hold their attention and maintain this apathetic stupor. And as one distraction comes to an end, which is our first story of the day, House Intel Committee ending Russia probe says no collusion found. So this is a headline that is likely not surprising to many, to most, I would say, out there today. But the important thing to take in from this is that nothing is going to change. This is not going to change anything. One side will say that the report is lies and it's manipulation, while the other side maintains that ultimately the Trump is a Putin puppet or whatever the nonsense they're putting out today, despite the fact that there's been absolutely zero evidence for that, of which most have said to date. What we must recognize is that this horrendously drawn out and clearly fruitless distraction has consumed the attention of Congress and Americans alike, which, as I said, was entirely the plan. While the country falls apart, drowning in addiction and debt, and the U.S. government carries out world war in the people's name, Congress and its ambitious, petty, and personal fighting has allowed this to stop them from doing the one most important thing they are meant to do. Check the executive branch, particularly in regard to war. Yet sadly, Congress was lost to us long ago, and now they're all making too much money and far too consumed with personal ambition. This is American politics, or rather, this is American politicians, at least in the majority, as far as I'm concerned. Claims are being made that the focus is shifting more toward Clinton and the Obama administration, which I think is fantastic, and further into the crimes behind the Steele dossier, which brings us into the next story. Coming out of consortiumnews.com, the strange case of the Russian spy poisoning. Now, this is a very interesting story that seems tied to many others, it would appear, and is typically the case. But with this case so far, it is typical what we've been seeing, that there is absolutely no proof going along with this story, just wild accusations, just like we've seen in all the chemical weapons accusations. They're calling out and pointing fingers at Russia, and it just seems very orchestrated. And ultimately, just like we saw with the chemical weapons accusations, there is really no proof behind what they're saying, at least so far that anyone has seen. And I think that is very, very revealing, and it's something that is causing a lot of tension between a lot of superpowers today. The author of the article has a theory which seems much more plausible and rooted in reality. He says, quote, "My admittedly speculative hypothesis, but I would argue not an unreasonable one, is that Skripal, who is the Russian individual who was killed, was likely involved in the production of the Steele dossier," and backs that up with discussion and evidence within the article. "He was therefore in a position to offer potentially very damaging information into the circumstances of the Steele dossier. As noted above, that particular narrative has not only spectacularly collapsed, but the revelations reflected very badly on, among others, the U.S. intelligence community, the FBI, the Democratic National Committee, the Obama White House, and the Clinton campaign." Moon of Alabama asks, "If someone is run over by a BMW, is it, quote, highly likely that the German governor is responsible for it?" That essentially, this is what came out, that it was highly likely that Russia was behind this, which is ridiculous. That's what Moon of Alabama is talking about in this article, when in a separate article, actually, making the joke of it, facetiously saying, essentially, that you could make this claim based on the fact that it's a BMW, that the Germans were behind it. That's what we're seeing in this case, and it is absurd, and it's very clearly being framed, particularly by the UK, leaving out plenty of information in what they're saying to make it seem like Russia, or rather put the evidence, the burden of evidence on them to claim or to show that they weren't responsible for it, which is ultimately absurd. Now, Trump has pledged support with the UK with their stance and is saying that Russia must now provide answers, or rather an unambiguous response. Russia did in fact respond in the next article by ZeroHedge.com entitled "Russia Threatens UK," quote, "One does not give 24-hour notice to a nuclear power," slamming the British for, quote, "not using a single international legal mechanism to probe the Skripal case." Additionally, the Russians stated that British Prime Minister Theresa May apparently has no actual facts concerning the poisoning of former Russian military intelligence colonel Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia. Quote, "No one knows anything, including Theresa May, who has no actual facts in her hands," quoted from the Russians. Very interesting. I mean, since when is it okay to demand that someone prove they are not at fault? Proving a negative is next to impossible, which I think is the point. Yet it has become a cornerstone of American politics, it seems, in recent years. Now, every time an event involving chemical weapons takes place, a U.S. enemy is accused without proof, and it's demanded that they defend themselves, despite the fact that the U.S. has verifiably carried out false flags, specifically using chemical weapons, and has been caught trying to stage many more in recent years, most commonly blaming Syria, Russia, or both. It is also important to know that the U.S. and U.S.-backed forces have been caught on numerous occasions using chemical weapons, such as white phosphorus, yet there are no repercussions, no international outrage, no ultimatums. In that contradiction, that hypocrisy, the truth of the situation reveals itself. And a perfect example of this hypocrisy and nefarious manipulation is revealed in the next story, coming out of activistpost.com. Syrian military uncovers terrorist chemical weapons workshop in East Ghouta. The Syrian army has claimed that it has uncovered a chemical weapons workshop in East Ghouta after having liberated the territory where the workshop was located. Now, this is such an interesting story that is very vindicating in a lot of ways. We talked recently about how the Russians openly called out the U.S.-backed forces in Syria for preparing another false flag attack using chemical weapons. And just when that happens, or rather just after East Ghouta is taken back, we find, oh, look, there's a chemical workshop being created. I mean, it's perfect, and it lines up exactly with what we've seen, exactly with what we've seen happen in the past. And yet you're not seeing this talked about. This is a huge deal. I mean, it verifies exactly what they claimed was happening, even the fact that they're saying the rebels had no access to these things, yet now we're seeing it. It reveals so many lies in the works, yet it's not being discussed at all. And with all the mountains of evidence demonstrating the manipulative and deceptive acts of the U.S. government in Syria, just in the recent past, they are rarely mentioned by the Western media. And that's something we have to continue to see. Speaking of that, in the next story, coming from the antimedia.org, in Syria, media hypes enemy crimes and ignores allies' atrocities. While the media decries the Syrian government's alleged actions in eastern Ghouta, governments and media institutions across the globe continue to turn a blind eye to mounting evidence that a NATO ally is committing mass murder on a scale equal to that of the Syrian regime in Syrian territory. Approximately 7 weeks ago, Turkey invaded the Syrian enclave of Afrin in northern Syria and has been terrorizing the local population. The entire world is completely silent. Yet we are to believe that Western governments are genuinely concerned about Syria's humanitarian crisis. All this while the media plays the same old tune that the Syrian government engages in genocide and ethnic cleansing. Sometimes silence says far more than any accusation. Moving on to the next story, coming out of ZeroHedge.com, not so fast. White House says North Korea must take, quote, concrete actions before Trump-Kim meeting. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said that the U.S. will require North Korea to take, quote, concrete and verifiable steps before President Trump attends an announced sit-down with Kim Jong-un. She's quoted in saying, this meeting won't take place without concrete actions that match the promises that have been made by North Korea. In my opinion, the point here is to make the U.S. look like they are willing to work toward peace, which we've shown is ultimately not the case. If only those maniacal North Koreans would stop acting aggressively. But the reality is that North Korea has been offering to denuke and come to the table for talks for a long time, as long as the U.S. would agree to stop its overtly and intentionally provocative war drills in North Korean territory, that which would cause all-out war should the situation be reversed, and guarantee North Korean safety. Yet the U.S. acts as if that has not been offered numerous times to date. The U.S. simply says it will ignore any offers until its demands are met, before any discussion. Very rational. A very arrogant and selfish stance, actually, as far as I'm concerned, basically saying that peace is unacceptable if the U.S. must make any concessions whatsoever. So to see the U.S. claiming victory, if even a short-lived one, in Kim's agreement to negotiate is belligerently ignorant of the facts at hand, but nothing new there. And now to see that the U.S. is reasserting its preconditions, even to discuss the option of peace, puts us right back in square one, exactly what the U.S. intended. I fully expect that the time will come for this meeting, and the same conditions will apply, and the U.S. will refuse to sit, naming North Korean the provocateur, the aggressor, when everything demonstrates the opposite. Moving on to the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, CDC, U.S. opioid crisis getting worse. Quote, we have an emergency on our hands. It's like, oh, you don't say, that what we've been saying for 10, 15 years now. Oh, okay, so now we have a crisis. It just makes me laugh to see that come out like they're informing us of something we're all very, very aware of. They're quoted in saying, we have an emergency on our hands. The fast-moving opioid overdose epidemic continues and is accelerating. CDC provides three shocking statistics from the latest report indicating the opioid crisis is actually out of control, which we're all aware of. These statistics are quite shocking. Opioid overdoses went up 30% from July 2016 through September 2017 in 52 areas in 45 states. 30%. The Midwestern region witnessed opioid overdoses increase 70%. From July 2016 through September 2017, opioid overdoses in large cities increased by 54% in 16 states. I mean, think about that. That is shocking statistics. A new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirms the opioid crisis has dramatically worsened since the second half of 2016. The raw data from hospital emergency rooms show a significant increase in drug overdoses across the U.S. Those states, the 16 addressed, are the intense part, but the overdoses in this is affecting every state in this country. In a press briefing on Tuesday, CDC Director Ann Schuchat, if I'm saying that correctly, warned that the U.S. is currently experiencing the highest drug overdose death rates ever. And think about that, ever. Right now, like we said, it was up 30% in general, and now they're saying, oh, it could be fentanyl that's causing this. I mean, the reason I bring this case up is because, first of all, it's something that we have been drawing attention to for such a very long time. So many people have been calling this what it is, and yet, like we've said in many recent shows, despite the feigned effort of trying to do something to stop it, Trump's new plan, it's continuing to go up and drastically go up, which shows you that nothing's really being done. It's all just a bunch of hollow words saying we're going to do this or we're going to stop that when everyone's still making all the money they were and people are dying at record rates. It's horrifying because this is being completely facilitated by the people in power. Even going to the idea that we are bringing in opium from Afghanistan, something that we know is happening. The idea is that this has been going on for a long time. We've talked about Afghanistan, the opium trade. We've talked about the opioids. It's frustrating to see them come out and pretend like this is something that they're now drawing our attention to. Like, we need to rally together. I mean, it frustrates me. I think that's the ultimate point for me, is to see them come out like this is some new thing. But I continue to say that we're probably not going to see anything change. They're probably going to come out with some kind of new medication that is supposed to stop this from happening or help the addiction instead of actually trying to stop the problem, which is what we see in every case in this country. It's always, you know, Band-Aid on a bullet hole instead of actually trying to fix the problem or get rid of the thing that caused the problem. And it's something we're seeing in every possible way today. But this is something that is very much a problem. So I will honestly say that I like the fact that we're seeing it addressed, but I want to see action. It's like I say, in every possible way. And I honestly don't think that's going to happen. So we'll have to wait and see. Moving on to the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, Trump pardons sailor who uses, quote, Hillary defense against felony conviction. Now, this is a quick one I wanted to touch on because it ties into things that I find very interesting. This is the kid that ultimately said that, and did go to jail. He was in jail for an entire year for doing basically exactly what Hillary Clinton did, but much less severe. And so first I asked, why did he wait an entire year to do this? I mean, this is something that was in the main scene during the election. So why did he wait this long to pardon him? I don't know. That's something I think we should ask ourselves. But the reason I bring this up is it's the implications here. What does this mean for Hillary Clinton? This almost reinforces Clinton's standing that it was supposedly, you know, not intentional, and so it's not a crime. It's interesting. I don't know where this will lead, but to see, I'm happy to see him pardoned because Clinton's not in jail. It seemed ridiculous. I've used that point in many discussions, but I don't like where this implies for what's going to happen to Hillary Clinton, because she very much deserves to be behind bars, as I think many can agree with today. But this doesn't bode well for, you know, where that's going. We'll have to wait and see. So keep track of this. And finally, to finish today, I would like to wish James Clapper a happy anniversary. Today is an important anniversary for former intelligence chief James Clapper. No, it's not his marriage anniversary or conventional milestone. Today, Clapper can celebrate the running out of the statute of limitations on his perjury before Congress. 5 years and Clapper is now beyond the reach of the law. Congratulations, sir. This is one of the major points of all this distraction we're discussing. To allow these types of obvious, verifiable, and acknowledged elite crimes to go completely unpunished. It's something we've just beaten a dead horse, as far as I'm concerned, on this show. Just continuing to show that nothing happens to these people. We talked about the FISA memo. That was just the catalyst. But really, there's so many. I mean, Clinton is another perfect example of people that have crimes on record. We have them on record. We can see exactly what they did. It's generally acknowledged, yet they step down from a position or they change, you know, nothing ultimately happens. They're never put behind bars. And yet with us individuals, the average Americans, we do anything, we jaywalk and we go to prison. You know, it's what it seems like today. And that's obviously an exaggeration, but the point is that we are held to the fullest extent of the law in every regard, from tickets to any, to the most severe type of crime. Yet we see these people, when he verifiably perjured himself more than once, and yet now it's, you know, his anniversary. He's past the time. It's not going to happen for him now. And that's frustrating to see. So I'd like to leave you today with a well-written analogy by Jonathan Turley, which is related to this article specifically. It is the latest chapter in America's animal farm, as average citizens are criminally charged with small discrepancies in statements to investigators, while people like Clapper and Dave Petraeus and Sandy Berger are protected from serious repercussions for criminal acts. Orwell wrote the fanciful account of a farm society of animals at the end of World War II during a period of authoritarian power and government propaganda. The farm government proclaimed equality of all animals, but as the pig squealer explained, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Of course, none of our politicians is nearly as open and honest as Squealer. There will be no sign proclaiming the different treatment of the governing and governed classes. They prefer the barnyard to return to its previously sleepy existence once the offender has been put away. That is why Clapper's anniversary is a point of celebration in the Beltway, as a reaffirmation that in Washington, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. For more information on the topics discussed, check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.